closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Good morning, and thank you for downloading our little podcast from Italy. My name is Jason.
Ciao, and I'm Ashley.
And together we have this little podcast that we do usually under the covers in our bed early in the morning. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I look out and on the 22nd of February, I look out the window and it is lightly snowing and -1 degree.
Yes, a snowstorm is a brewing. It feels very wintry, so it's a perfect day for a podcast.
Yes. Since it's the 22nd of February, we have to wish a happy birthday to the doctor. Dr. Gaji today turns 64 years old, and we're going to Fano. Probably have to slap on the chains for the car to drive to Fano, and he has a surprise party tonight, which I have a great gift for him.
Yes, you do. Tell him all about it. This is so cool. You found this in Greece.
So, in this little fishing village of Githios?
Yes.
Did I say that right? Uh-huh. Or Githio?
Either way, I think.
There was an antique...
There's like three spellings and like three or four different ways to say every town. It's so confusing, but continue.
There's a little antique store in this town of Githio or Githios. With a wonderful gentleman who owned it for, forever. And he had a collection of antique scales that are kind of like one beam scales that you would hook to the top, hook to a hook in the ceiling, and they have claws on the bottom, and then you use the little counterweight slide. And there's just markings on it.
And you would weigh things, he said, even animals and obviously fish. We were in a fishing village, so it can hold a lot of weight, but they wasn't marked in Roman numerals, that's for sure.
No, it's not marked in the traditional Roman or what we think kilos and grams. It's called an oka. An oka! And they said an oka was about 1,280 grams. That's what he says. Of course, since it's our podcast, we have not looked it up at all. But
no, but I am shocked. How did you remember that, too?
Because that was an important thing.
It's important, but I was like, wow, that's a good memory. And there were just weird little dots on it. And
it's handmade. It's from the mid to late 1700s. And the end piece is... I will take a picture of it. It's really, really cool.
It is really cool.
The reason I got this for him is because when we go to Vittorio, he has a antique scale like this and that he uses, and we both love it. And I've been looking around here for a year trying to find something like that, and I couldn't. And this guy had a dozen. So I bought one for the Godster, and I got myself one. And since they're so old and they're not in kilos, it's really just a decorative item. But man, is it cool!
It is cool.
So we'll throw a photo up on online with that.
They're
as well.
Really heavy.
They are heavy, and it just looks cool and old.
I know. Where do you want to hang it?
I don't know. We'll think about that
in the
later.
Kitchen or the dining room. That'll look really cool.
So we are back from Greece. We're ready to get back to work and ready for the season to start. We have about a month until our first guests are here. So. Starting to freak out. Time is a ticking.
I know. Then it's our spring training.
It's true. It's time to defluff. Mm-hmm. We've definitely packed on our winter weight and are waking up from our long slumber of winter.
But with all the snow, I'm dying to start burning the fields and the brush. Like Gachi's taught us to be pyromaniacs. So stay tuned for the podcast when we start getting down dirty outside. It'll feel good.
It will feel good. But today is not the day for that.
No, today we are on a different topic.
Yes, we've got we get about 4 or 5 a month emails about people interested in relocating to Italy and looking for advice or reassurance, and it makes us think that we should ditch the whole agriturismo thing and become consultants. But today we're going to kind of go over that and have some real talk.
Real talk. Straight talk.
Straight talk. About the mindset and moving to Italy, and kind of just touch on this because Ashley gets these long emails about it, and it's kind of hard to sum up in an email how to move to Italy. It's going to be, you really can't do it in a podcast either.
No, and for this podcast, we're not focusing on the visa process or so much the bureaucracy, but kind of the emotional side of it and how to stay focused and some of that, because that is, it's more the intangibles of moving and how to get in the right mindset of changing your life completely. This is our Oprah episode.
Oh, God. See, now, if I was listening to this, I turned it off. So,
all right. Never mind.
Please don't say Oprah. God. This will probably be a little bit all over the place, but so are your emails. So
yes.
Here we go.
The first thing is you must mentally prepare yourself when you decide you want to move to Italy. None of this on the fence. Oh, someday I think we should. Wouldn't it be nice? If you really want to do this, you have to decide. We are moving to Italy.
We're all in. It just has to be. You have to put all of your energy, shut off your cable, do something every day. If you're sitting there watching TV, you're wasting time. You're not focusing yourself on achieving your goal.
You have to believe in yourself wholeheartedly that this will happen no matter what. Haters gonna hate. You are gonna be around people at work who think this is a crazy idea. Even family who thinks you're running away from something or abandoning them. It is your choice to move. And go for it. I mean, if this is your dream or something you would want to do, I don't know. I say go for it wholeheartedly and don't believe for a moment that it'll fail. Because if you do think that could happen, then it could. But in Jason and our case, there was just not a shadow of a doubt. I mean, we had to believe no matter what that we could do this.
So it's such a daunting task. Where do you start? That's a good thing. Where do you start? Well, first we put a big map of Italy on our wall with places that we went on our honeymoon. And we made a timeline. We want to move by X. So give yourself a year. Be realistic. Set realistic goals. So you want to move in the next 2 years or the next 18 months or whatever it is. And set those timelines. I want to have all my paperwork done within the next 6 months. I want to go to Italy within the next 3 seasons because, honestly, you went to Italy on your vacation or you've been there twice and it's been beautiful and gorgeous. But be realistic. Italy is a beautiful place, but do you love Italy in January when it's cold and the piazzas are empty and it's quiet and there's no festivals going on? This is real life. You're really moving to this place, so you're going to be there the whole year long.
A charming stone farmhouse in the summer is ideal. It is just what you dream of.
Cool. However, inside
the color of the stone in the sunset, it's gorgeous. In the winter, it's effing cold. It is really freezing.
Yes.
It's hard to keep warm. It's a struggle to move wood. When you live in the country, it is it's a constant battle of the elements. So even though you think of sun-drenched summers and sunflowers, Italy has its winters, too.
It does. Secondly, enroll in language lessons. You are crazy if you think you're going to move to a foreign country and not speak their language. Our Italian is not perfect by any means. However, we knew that in order to assimilate, in order to become part of the community, which is so important with Italians. Now, again, we live in the deep country. So if you're going to move to Rome, it's probably an entirely different
But don't assume that Italians speak English. Out in the countryside, for us, many of our neighbors stopped taking English lessons in fourth grade. So they know a few words, but it's not like you could do business or have a real conversation or take your children to school. So these are things that if you were wanting to really assimilate and have a life here, you must know the language. It's crazy not to. And how much farther you'll get in the doors you'll open by just knowing a little bit of Italian when you get here, and then they'll help you along the way. But that is, and if you're thinking of moving here, it's a great way to become part of the community is taking lessons with a local or within the kind of community setup that they have for stranieri.
Or foreigners.
For the foreigners. What else? So you need to become, like we're saying, become part of the community and learning the language. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit.
Yeah, remember, there's going to be plenty of roadblocks. It's going to be a crazy, crazy journey through it. Just think of the difficulties as things you have to overcome to get to it. You're going to cry once or twice. You're going to want to pull your hair out. You're going to throw your arms up in the air and say, this is crazy. What is going on?
You'll probably lose money. Yes. You'll be swindled a few times or overpay for rent or who knows. But keep pushing forward. Any of those times of discouragement or the times where you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing? Those are those moments where you have to say, I know what I'm doing this for a better life or for whatever your reasons are. And keep going forward. Those are your determining moments, I think.
Do one thing every day.
Yes.
Whether it's a workbook page in your Italian language book or making the phone call to the office you need that document from for the 400th time.
Because it's always busy.
Because they took the phone off the hook and left it on their desk.
I've seen them do it. I was shocked.
Just do one thing every day. Progress will come in fits and starts. And just remember that the timeline you made and the budget that you made will most likely increase by at least a third on each. So yes. Have plenty of money and have plenty of time. If your company has an office here and you're transferring, that's 90%. I mean, that's so much of it. You have to also find someone who believes in you, an Italian. So we found our commercialista or our business manager accountant, and he took care of a lot of the paperwork. We can't even get into the bureaucracy of it all because
not only that, of him taking care of the paperwork, which, yes, was incredibly helpful and unbelievable, his resources, but it was the emotional support to know that an Italian believed in what we were going to do and thought that he could feel passionate about it too. That was really important, I think, no?
Yes, that first relationship with that person, whoever it may be, whether it's a family member or a business associate or whoever, you have to trust them and they have to
exactly
go to bat for you.
To know you have someone in this foreign land that you trust is deep. Also, you have to be open to it all. This is, if you are going to constantly compare it to life in the States, life in the UK, stay there. Because you're not going to change the system. It's going to be wonderfully, beautifully, exhaustingly, frustratingly different, but be open to it all. Whether it's the cultural differences or the hours of operation, it's going to change.
Time's going to change. You want this change if you, like, yeah, exactly. If you don't, if you want the great parts of Italy, but you don't want the frustrating parts, stay home. It's not, you have to take it all, the good, the bad. It's not all peaches and cream all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That being said.
Well, I also have to say that the cultural differences can be really difficult at times, not just understanding they take their siesta and time moves a bit slower, but also culturally going, okay, we have to, we lived in New York. You could wear anything you want any time of the day, run into town and, you know, sweats in a t-shirt or it doesn't matter. Jason running into town, even in basketball shorts and tennis shoes.
Still gets looks
at times. Flip flops are not an acceptable foot attire in Italy.
Well, at the beach they are.
Only at the beach or pool. I rock them all summer long. So it's some of those things you kind of pick and choose your battles with that. But, knowing the kind of cultural couths is very important also.
And just be willing to accept it all and think it's all wonderful at first.
Even when you show up to town and it's a saint's day that you didn't know existed and every single thing is closed.
Okay, so you've picked your spot, you've got all your paperwork, your visa's in order, you've moved, now what? Well, this is where the real work begins, because now that you're here, you have to become Italian, you have to become part of it, you have to become part of a community, because the community here is so important. So how do you do that? What we did is we did everything we could to be visible, to be a part, such as you go to the same bar every morning. You'll see the same people. You have your morning cappuccino. Eventually someone will, you'll strike up a conversation with someone or the barista will recognize you.
Well, the smaller town it is, the more aware of you they are.
That's for sure. But I think even if you live in a bigger city,
it's important.
It's important. You'll see the same people at the same bar every day. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time we were we were noticed at the grocery store was it was snowing, terribly snowing outside, and we showed up in the morning and in all of our snow gear, like we had our boots and our snow pants and our jackets and our hats, and the lady looked at us and go, "You're not tourists." And we said, "No, we're not. We live here." And that was probably about a month and a half.
I was going to say it was about almost 2 months in exactly.
Into living here. And from that moment on, oh, now the lady at the market recognizes us that we now live here. We offered to give free language lessons in the comune or the off, what do you call it?
City town hall. I don't know. Yeah.
We offered free language lessons to whoever wanted to take it. We didn't know what we were doing, but all we would do is, my name is, you know, and it's a way to become part of it. Go to all the little festivals, go to, even if you're not religious, going to church a couple of Sundays is a great way to see people and let people know you're out there too. Strike up conversations. We baked things for everyone on our road. We baked tarts and brought them to everyone. Not an Italian thing to do at all, but that's the way we met the doctor, and that's the way we met Basilio, and that's the way we met a lot of people. And it's just being neighborly and becoming part of that community.
And also remember, it matters not where you're from, but you could be from Timbuktu, but it's your outlook or your age, because we've had a lot of people in like their 60s interested in moving. It just has to do with your outlook. Just like Jason's saying, to become part of the community and to really put yourself out there. If there's a reason you're moving here, be part of it.
And it'll make the feeling of loneliness or the feeling of longing of things that were at home much less, because now you feel like you belong. And I think it's easy if you don't really go out and interact with people to feel mm-hmm. alienated or ostracized. It's really important to feel like this is now your home and this is now where you live. And even though you'll always be stranieri or you'll always be a foreigner, if you put that out there, Italians will accept you. They're wonderful,
yes.
Warm people.
They're curious. They're superstitious. But that was one of the things I loved when we first moved here. A friend of ours said, don't be surprised. You live so far in the country if you start to feel very isolated. And at times in the winter when we arrived, we did. But the curiosity of the Italians, they came out to, they would just stop by. Still to this day, 5 years in, we get pop-ins of just people curious to see, oh, there's these Americans living way down this road. What are they doing down here? And who are they? And it's wonderful. Have a coffee ready for them and be ready to chat. This is why you need your Italian. what else would you say?
I would say
People also really concerned about like the infrastructure.
Yes. We have a crazy government. We have nuts.
It could get crazy.
Could get crazier. We have crazy politicians, but it all works. It's not the third world. We have the same stuff you have in the States or in the UK or in Australia or wherever you're writing us from.
You might not have peanut butter, but you make it. You learn to adapt.
And it all works. The power is on, the water comes, there's gas for your car. It's not the third world. It just looks like that sometimes. and if you're looking for efficiency, choose a different country. If you're looking for the everything to work or the
punctuality
or things to get done in a time, move to Holland, move to Switzerland.
Know if you have that dream of a country farmhouse, be aware of things like water.
position of the sun, yes, compared to your house. Remember, you want a southern-facing house if you live in the countryside. If your house doesn't have a southern face, you won't get any sunlight in the winter.
Have a good relationship with your plumber and or electrician.
Make friends in town to introduce you to these people, because mm-hmm. they will vouch for you, and they will – now the plumber or the electrician or whoever it is knows that you're friends with – whoever, and you're going to talk about the price he charged you or the work he did, and it's all about he doesn't want a bad word getting around. So take recommendations from people. That's part of the reason why we didn't – one of the mistakes we made was we bought a small, tiny, tiny little toaster box new car when we moved here instead of buying a used kind of something that we could carry stuff in, either a pickup truck or a little delivery van thing, because I felt I didn't know anyone here. I couldn't feel comfortable knowing a mechanic or making sure I didn't get ripped off for the used car I was going to buy. So
for sure,
we thought it was better to buy a new small car that really doesn't fit our purposes, but I know it's got a two, you know, it's guaranteed by the manufacturer and it's brand new. It's going to start every morning and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's really important to make friends and be sociable, and it'll make your transition here a whole lot better. And don't worry, you'll see your friends and family, because once you have a place in Italy,
they're all coming.
They're all coming out of the woodwork for a free place to stay on vacation. Believe you me.
So I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I feel like we've gone over it quite a bit, and I'm trying to think back to the emails.
Oh, work. What if you're coming here and trying to find work, if you're not going to start your own, you know, activity or have your own self-employment or
being transferred by your company,
by a multinational company, forget it. There is no work here, especially for, unless you're highly skilled in some weird.
I mean, I think like English teachers and small projects like that, but. Unless you know how to be self-employed, and you can do this very creatively, but
if you're an IT person or a writer or a
artist or
whatever, something like that, or you work for a big company like a Fiat or a big company that'll transfer for you,
looking to do tourism
or something in tourism that will bring economy here, it's going to be much, much, much more difficult to just come here and figure, I'll find work, I'll make it work. No, you won't. And they won't let you have a visa if you don't have a plan either. Last thing is a little quote I love from A League of Their Own. And it's at the end where they're sitting on the bus. What's her name? Gina Davis and Tom Hanks. And she's saying that baseball's too hard. And he says that it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. It's the hard that makes it great. And it's true. If the harder it is, the more you have to sacrifice to get here, the more you have to work for it, the sweeter it is, the more you'll appreciate it when you're here. Mm-hmm. And those things that will drive you nuts will be great because that's what you wanted. You must want it really bad. Otherwise, it will never happen. We sound like a self-help life coach.
I know. If we can do it, you can too. No, but it's true. I don't know.
Be realistic. Set a timeline. Set a budget.
Oh, speaking of that, sorry. Something we didn't mention. You don't have to do it forever.
Oh, that's true.
A huge thing is that you could come out here. Like, for an American, you have a 3-month window that you could be in Italy for 90 days. And you could come out for long chunks of time like that. Find a small apartment in a little village and see if you like living here in different times of the year, like Jason was saying. And then start to get to know the people and then buy a property. Or it doesn't have to be forever either. I know sometimes the idea of moving to a foreign country and leaving your family and children, you know, who have kids or these things behind can be really difficult, but it doesn't have to be finite. You could do it for 8 months and just to know and that you did it for, or a year, you know, it's all possible. Endless possibilities.
also kids. We don't have kids, but we've know a couple of families who had children who that moved from other countries. The younger they are, it seems that the easier it is. We knew a family who had two small girls who were kind of kindergarten-y age, and they had no problems at all. They pick it up really easy. It's not. It was
a little bit shy at school the first couple weeks and then go full stream in.
We knew another family who had teenagers and they had a much more difficult time assimilating in. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't have kids, but I would think that would be like if you have a 12-year-old, I would think it'd be harder for the 12-year-old than it would be for the 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But do it. It's a great place to live. We love Italy. I will live here forever.
The quality of life is wonderful. It's what drew us here to begin with.
And there you go. That should hopefully answer...
some emotional questions.
Yes. Now that the crazy long emails that we get, which are great. Thank you for sending to them. But it's like,
And just to know that people are so curious about how we got here. And I think part of it is because we have had a really positive experience and not everyone has had that. And it's something we are so thankful for, but that wasn't easy. And every day you have to do something towards it, even still, like Jason said. So,
and I think it was a positive experience because we think of it as positively. As your sister said when about month three when she was staying with us, she goes, this isn't as great as you thought it was. And it wasn't for her because it wasn't her dream. She didn't think that freezing at night was
charming. Or all part of it.
She was just freezing. And we thought it was great. We're learning how to live in the countryside. I can't feel my nose. The tips of my fingers are freezing. To us, it was great. To her, it was not so much. So
you gotta want it.
You gotta want it.
Or you got it or you ain't.
Or you got it or you ain't.
Mel Brooks. Well, keep dreaming, keep going for it, and alla prossima. We'll see you in Italy.
I guess. So what are we doing this, now that we're back, we'll switch topics, switch gears. What are we doing this week? Oh, I've got to go to Pesaro to take back. Here's another thing. We have a beautiful, Ashley does all, you know, our whole business is on the computer, so we have a Mac desktop computer, not that old. It has, like everyone else's Mac, it has problems. We have to drive it an hour and a half to Pesaro, which is the closest authorized place to get worked on by a Mac.
But how far is Pesaro? About an hour and a half.
About an hour and a half. Then they will take it and tell you it'll be here in two weeks. So
then you drive back.
And then you drive all the way back. So it's
not like living in New York where you just take it to one of the
seven Mac stores
on your way to work.
And that's or you need a part for something. And that's my biggest thing here is sourcing things. We run a business, so I need a lot more weird stuff that there's just not the population here. So, you know, you want to go to the big, huge grocery store, and it's, you know, 45 minutes away, or you need bulk toilet paper, and it's, you know, again, an hour and 10 minutes away. So, again, if you live in a bigger city, that probably wouldn't be as much of a problem, but just sometimes the convenience and the things, you know, the hours and the convenience will just not be there.
I agree.
This week, besides driving out to Pesaro to drop our computer off, what are we doing?
I'm typing and working on the computer.
I'm going to get started in the rooms. I have to start going fixing leaky toilets. We need to do a little bit of interior painting. What else? Going through each room. We have to go through each room and write down everything that needs to be done.
Oh my gosh, I know it's time.
It is time. Oh my goodness gracious.
And here comes the snow.
Well, then that's my cue. I'm going to go throw the chains on the car and dig it out, put on all my clothes, and we need to go lay in supplies. It's supposed to lightly snow all day today, and then tomorrow's supposed to be heavy, so we've got to go lay in some supplies. We just got some milk and some
ham.
So we don't have a lot here for the weekend for when we'll be stuck inside. So it's time to get going and do that. Thank you very much for all your questions and comments and emails. If you have anything you would like to say, please shoot us an email. info@latavolamarche.com, LATAVOLAMARCHE.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook by typing that in. You can, what? Oh, Blogspot. You can follow our blog.
YouTube. We've got a few of our videos up, and I'll be working on, I think, the pancetta video this week as well.
But, yes, it's time to get going.
I know. And the book writing, it continues.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Buon compleanno, dottore!
Yes, happy birthday to the doctor, and we will talk to you next time.
Arrivederci!